We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rami and Tim have been going at it for the last 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned. Well, not yet. It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. It's not too early to think about those 2021 season passes. Get yours and check out all the info at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
It is that time on the Rami and Tim Show for us to reset the big topics discussed on today's show. Give you the final say on them. Great Lakes Dragaway, pick a lane, and here's what you're picking from. Should the Bucks extend Jrue Holiday? Right lane. Left lane. Bigger loss. Lindsley or Jones. And the return lane. Found the first bad projection for the Milwaukee Brewers. Could you see it going this badly? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And if you know which lane it is that you want to jump on in, go ahead and dial that number or send that tweet while we reset these big topics discussed on today's Rami and Tim Show. After talking with Eric Name, Tim, earlier I was not on the fence. I was leaning towards, yes, you extend Jrue Holiday, and today is the day that the window opens that the Bucks can do just that and give him a four-year extension worth, what is it, $134.5 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the exact number right now. And my hesitation before, my reservations before when we had this conversation to start the show, Tim, was what I talked about a couple days ago when we were asking whose window is the most wide open among the big three teams in the state of Wisconsin. I said, the Bucks window will stay open as long as you have Giannis, and he signed the Supermax, so Giannis is going to be around for a while. But as far as this current version, this iteration of the Milwaukee Bucks, I think we could see changes as soon as this year, this offseason, and at the latest by the next offseason, at the end of next year, if we don't see them make deep playoff runs at the very least, if not win a championship. If the thud is loud enough at the end of this year in terms of the way that this season ends, I could see Coach Bud gone, and if they still don't meet expectations after last year, I could see a shakeup of the supporting cast around Giannis, including Jrue Holiday. And I didn't want to be necessarily locked into anything long-term if that's the case, but Ryan put my concerns to rest, him, by saying, Eric put my concerns to rest by saying Jrue Holiday will still be very tradable with that contract if you decide to change the supporting cast around Giannis this offseason or next offseason. So that, knowing that now, I feel like, yeah, it's almost a no-brainer that you give the dude the extension right now.
You have one of the better big three, if you will, in the East, one of the better. Now, they're not the best, I get it. But what that does is just in the service that they give you, just these three together, will at the very bare minimum provide competing at a higher level in the East. That's the minimum that those three guys provide. I'm not saying they're world beaters, but you know, three deep like that, I mean, that's pretty good. It really is. Now, if you put them in a pecking order, I think a couple of threes and a one for sure, and then that's what you've got. It does leave the little door open if you can find some cap room and all that to kind of lure a superstar in here. Now take inventory. And I know it's a confusing thing, the salary cap, but boy, other teams seem to make it work. Somehow, some way, they find ways to get it done with just a star-studded cast. What this provides is possibly throwing out the hook And maybe someone's going to bite and say, you know what? Look at that situation there in Milwaukee. They've got Middleton. Obviously, they have Giannis. They've got Holiday. You know, a little supporting cast on a couple of veterans that are brought in on a given year. This is a no-brainer to me, guys. It's an absolute no-brainer. I love the fact that we can throw around for these players, you know, a four-year deal in basketball for $135 million. I mean, God bless them.
It's nice money if you can get it.
Yeah, and they've got their hands out, and someone's just launching money into the hands of some of these players, which is cool for them. But, you know, that's the thing, that it at least provides you with these three high-level competition in the East. I don't think it should have been done by now. Now, again, Eric Name was talking about why there wouldn't be an announcement real quick. These things take time and things like that. I wonder, Rami, if part of the time factor in a lot of these contract negotiations is knowing when to announce it. I think that's pretty important, too, as to, you know, when the team may need a little pick-me-up, or when the team needs a crescendo after a huge win, or maybe it's the All-Star break. But you've had enough time to know the landscape and the environment of Holiday's situation, of the Bucks cap situation. You've had enough time. It shouldn't take long before they announce this deal.
So that's the right lane. Should the Bucks extend Jrue Holiday? It almost seems like a no-brainer, but if you want to chime in, 414-799-1250, tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. The other two lanes, much tougher questions. It now appears, Tim, as we delve deeper and deeper into the salary cap situation and the price tags that free agents will carry with them heading into free agency, that neither Aaron Jones or Corey Linsley will be Green Bay Packers in 2021. I know you don't want to hear it, but even Corey Linsley essentially has come to terms with that fact.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit different. Yeah, we're not closing the door for anything. Obviously, we'd never do that for any team, especially the Packers. But yeah, it definitely feels weird. Looks like all signs are pointing towards having him, you know, snapping the ball somewhere else next year. But you know, it really doesn't change. I mean, I'm putting in the work right now, lifting and training, and from that standpoint, but a little more anxiety, a little more uncertainty, I guess, you know, just wanting to get this all over and finding a new home.
And Tim, not to say that there won't be a drop-off in production at center or at running back if they do indeed move on from both those guys, which it looks like they will, and that was Linsley on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I think the bigger loss is Corey Linsley, because he protects the franchise. He keeps Aaron Rodgers clean, up on his feet, and finding receivers. So Linsley makes Rodgers better, while I think Rodgers makes Aaron Jones better. And Jones makes Rodgers better, but I think in that relationship, Jones benefits a little bit more from the other than Rodgers does from him. So I think that they'll miss both of these guys. Which one will hurt more? Corey Linsley, and can they overcome the loss of both of these guys? Yeah, I think so. I think the Packers offense will be just fine without Corey Linsley and Aaron Jones next year.
You can make the argument that both Aaron Rodgers and Corey Linsley make Aaron Jones better when you think about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I can't go into a season where your goal is to win the Super Bowl, and that's legitimate, right? I don't think anyone's going to argue with that goal is to win the Super Bowl. We always talk about, you know, Brandon Woodruff throwing out there, win the World Series, and win the... Well, some people aren't that confident. I think everybody, including the national people, are pretty confident that the Packers are legitimate in saying it's sort of Super Bowl or bust. And I think that's fair. That's where they're at here. To go into a Super Bowl or bust type season without but two playmakers, and that's Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, to me, that screams of Detroit. You want to be Detroit again? Have fun.
Stop. They're far
from
being Detroit.
You got Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Go to town. When they excel, you shine, you win some games. When they don't have that good of a game, there's no one else to go to. You got to have playmakers in today's offensive NFL.
Yeah, you'll have playmakers. His name is A.J. Dillon. Mm-hmm. You have Davante Adams. You got your guy Tonyan. You got MVS.
Let's find out.
Alan Lazard. Yeah, the playmakers are there, and Aaron Rodgers turns people into playmakers. But that's the left lane. Bigger loss, Linsley or Jones, and can they sustain both those guys walking out? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And moving to the return lane, Tim, all the projections have been pretty kind to the Brewers to this point. Most of them have them winning the division. Even the most unkind have them winning 84, 86 games and saying that that would be enough to win the division. Today I stumbled across the first one that hasn't been so kind to the Milwaukee Brewers. It's from Bradford Doolittle and the folks who do simulations over at ESPN.com. They have them as the 18th best team in the league, a 79.8 power rating, got them winning 81.7 games, 23% chance to make the playoffs, 2% chance to win a pennant, and a 1% chance to win a title. Now, he does say, Bradford Doolittle does say, that their projections, their simulations, don't necessarily factor in the shifts that Craig Counsell is so well known for. And he says that that could play a big factor because the Brewers are going to lean heavily on defense this year if they're going to win baseball games. And then he gets to the offense. And he says, as for the Milwaukee offense, a return to prominence by Christian Yelich is pretty much a must-have. Collectively, though, the Brewers project to be well below average in the power category. For Milwaukee to rise above its middle-of-the-pack forecast, that's the area in which it needs a collective breakout. And Tim, I hate to say it, but I could see things being this bad if at least three or four of the bounce-back candidates in their everyday lineup of position players doesn't indeed bounce back and outperform their last year or two. And Yelich, yeah, he'll probably do it. Keston Hira, the guy wakes up hitting. So those two, you can be pretty confident that they're going to bounce back. But Narvaez, Garcia, whoever ends up playing third base, whoever ends up playing shortstop, it's no guarantee you're going to get offense from those positions, Tim. And if you don't, it's going to be a long, tough road for the Brewers this season.
Well, we also need to understand, just to be fair about this, every single team has a handful of bounce-back candidates because of COVID in the 60-gamer last year. So, to some degree, you know, it's a horse apiece in some of those guys. But I do agree, you know, the left side of the infield is really a big question mark here. And I don't see it going this bad. In fact, I see four of the eight position players, 20 or more home runs. I see three of the eight position players being gold glovers. We still have yet to get into the deeper conversation about, you know, the defense as a whole, I think. And maybe we'll get to that prior to, you know, a month from right now. But, you know, the defense up the middle looks good. I mean, you're going to – Orlando Arcia, is he going to kill you on defense? I don't think I'd touch him from shortstop up the middle. You'd be about as strong as you've been ever. In terms of the gloves up the middle. But you do need bounce-back candidates. Run prevention is like run scoring. Cut down on the strikeouts. You're not going to hit as many home runs. So those of you waiting to watch Bernie slide down four or five times a game, not going to happen at American Family Field. But you can make up for that defensively, and you can make up for that of getting the ball in play.
So we've reset the big topics discussed on today's show. Now you get the final say. Right lane, should the Bucks extend Jrue Holiday? Left lane, bigger loss, Lindsley or Jones, and can they afford to lose both? And the return lane, do you think things could be that bad for the Milwaukee Brewers? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, back right after this. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. In the midst of Great Lakes Dragaway, pick a lane. And it's never too late to think about those 2021 season passes. Get yours and check out all the info at GreatLakesDragaway.com. A Bucks game day preview coming up in just a moment. Here are the lanes that you have to pick from in this evening's Great Lakes Dragaway pick a lane. Right lane, should the Bucks extend Jrue Holiday? Left lane, bigger loss, Lindsley or Jones, and can they afford to lose both? And the return lane, first bad projection for the Brewers, has them with 81 wins and finishing third place in the NL Central. About a 23% chance of winning the division, about a 2% chance of winning the pennant, and a 1% chance of winning the title. Could you see it being that bad? 414-799-1250.
You knew it was coming. I mean, you knew some of these, some of the East Coast bias would come in.
I mean, I don't think this is biased, Tim.
Well, some of it
these are computers. They computers simulated games 100 times or however many times, and then this is what they came up with.
Yeah, well, the data entry is skewed, too. You're going to see, this isn't the last one you're going to see as the season approaches here.
But the
you're going to see everyone
Tim,
hyping
to this
up,
point,
especially USA Today. They're going to hype up like gargantuan. New York Yankees, New York Mets, Washington Nationals, Boston Red Sox, and they'll even give Baltimore a little love just because they're in the neighborhood over there. You'll see it. It happens every year.
If you want to know what this particular projection says, these simulations from ESPN.com and Bradford Dulow, they have, and I don't think you would be surprised or take umbrage with this, the Dodgers. They have it number one and winning 107 games. Then, yes, the Yankees, with 90, they have them winning 96 games, which I think is probably a pretty good chance of doing that. That's a good baseball. The Braves, they got them winning 95 games. And you tell me where you take issue with any of this, Tim, because so far this all makes perfect sense
Dodgers.
To me.
Well, the Dodgers as number one. Something doesn't feel right, smell right. They just won
a World Series and added Trevor Bauer.
I'm putting every sort of bad mojo, bad voodoo, I'm hexing, I'm willing them to lose.
I don't like the Astros. I hate the Astros for what they did when they won the World Series. But that's a good baseball team, and I think they could win about 93 games, as these projections say. The Twins, they have them as a 91-win team. And I've been watching the Twins pretty closely the last couple of years. That's a good ball club, and they can mash, dude. That was a fun ball club to watch for a couple of years. Just home runs on top of home runs. The Mets, with everything that they did this year, and this is one I could see going wrong, just because this isn't the first time, Tim. It looked like the Mets had their stuff together, and it didn't play out the way that it looked on paper. They got them winning 90 games. The Padres, they got them winning 91 games. The A's, 88 wins. Like, I don't know how you can take issue with any of this, Tim. This all makes very much sense to me. Okay, the Cubs, they have them winning 89 games. That's probably the most generous projection that we've seen for the Chicago Cubs. This is the only one that I've seen that has them winning the division. Every other projection simulation that I've seen in the past has either the Brewers or the Cardinals winning the division. They happen to like the Cubs a lot. And you could take issue with that. And I can see why, Tim, but I could also see the Cubs with four guys in the middle of their lineup who have received MVP candidates, catching lightning in a bottle and putting together a pretty good season despite trading away a Yu Darvish. It's going to take more than that if they're going to do what these projections are saying that they're going to do, but I don't think that's out of the question either. And I don't think what they said, like I said, about the Twins the Brewers is out of the question if they don't get enough offense from enough of these guys that they're looking to get bounce back seasons from.
Another thing to keep in mind here are the in-division head-to-head matchups. There's a lot of games, 18, 19 games amongst teams in your same division. So how do the Brewers now match up against Chicago with Jose Quintana out? Well, there's three additional wins.
That's true. That guy dominated.
Let's face it. He owned the Brewers. But let's see how, the Cubs and Cardinals go at it. Do they level off with about 10 wins apiece? Do the Brewers go at the Cardinals? Maybe it's a nice matchup. Everyone can pencil in 12 wins against 12, 13, 14, maybe more against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then the wild card would be the Cincinnati Reds and see how they do in these head-to-head things. I love the unbalanced, if you will, schedules that Major League Baseball has. And they've got you playing a ton in division. They started that some years ago, but I do like that. But we'll have to see. We'll wait.
We shall see. We shall see, Tim. Today at The Athletic, Matt Schneidman covers the Packers over there. He had 10 bold predictions for the Packers in 2021, and some of these are bold, Tim. I want to go over a couple of them with you, if we could, with a couple minutes we have here. And then we're going to hear from Eric Name, get you ready for the Bucks tonight. The Packers sign future Hall of Famer in free agency, but it's not J.J. Watt. He says the Packers go and get Richard Sherman from the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. What if that was the move on defense, Tim, and not J.J. Watt? Does that help the Packers enough?
Oh, it certainly does, and I think he brings intelligence. I think he brings a bar of winning. He brings accountability, and he brings a direct straight shooter when you're talking about the defense. So I just imagine, that in that defensive secondary with Alexander and Savage and Adrian Amos. Come on.
He also says the Packers trade Jordan Love at the deadline.
Not a chance.
You don't think so?
No chance of that.
He says Gutekunst could give Love more time to develop, but he bites the bullet and parts with him while he still can get something in return. And because he doesn't want to pay him what the fifth-year option would require, Tim Boyle remains Rodgers' backup, and Gutekunst begins developing plans to draft another quarterback in the first round in 2022 or 2023.
No. Tim Boyle, I hate to call for someone's check and job and everything. With what's going on with quarterbacks in the NFL, he'll do fine. He'll have a landing spot. He'd be gone already if it were me. And if Jordan Love isn't sort of this backup game day quarterback, I don't know why they even took him in the first place.
He says A.J. Dillon rushes for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I could see that. I'm rooting for that. I'm a big fan of A.J. Dillon.
Devin Funchess catches 6 touchdown passes after sitting out 2020. And he includes an Instagram post in here from Devin Funchess, because we haven't seen the guy since he signed with the Packers. You haven't seen the guy because he opted out of the 2020 season because of COVID. So you're like, what kind of shape is this guy in? Is he still ready for football? This Instagram post looks very much like Devin Funchess is ready for football. And I thought he was older, Tim. He's only 27 years old, and he's a couple of years removed from his best season as a pro wide receiver. But at 27, and with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football, I know people don't want to hear this, but Devin Funchess could be that other receiver that you're looking for opposite of Devontae Adams, and he's already here. You may not need to go and get anybody else. This guy has produced at a high level at the NFL level. So I don't think that counting him out or rolling your eyes when people talk about Devin Funchess being added back to the fold this year, I don't think that that's really warranted. I think the guy could have an impact for the Packers in 2021.
No, it certainly could. And it's a little bit of a name there. And I do like the other guy that was in Carolina, though, as a Swiss Army knife. Who's that, Curtis Samuel?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a guy that I would have my target on. A
couple more of Matt Schneidman's bold predictions for 2021. He says Bakhtiari is named a first-team All-Pro despite coming off his ACL tear. I didn't realize he made All-Pro this year despite missing 4 games, and he's probably going to miss at least 4 games next year coming back from the ACL. Could be ready for the start of the season, but that would take a Herculean effort in rehab from David Bakhtiari. And if anybody can do it, it's probably him. He says Devontae Adams will start getting Hall of Fame whispers, which I think is fair, and he lays out the case in there for it, Tim. Jaire Alexander will be a first-team All-Pro, and then his 10th bold prediction. I don't know why Matt Schneidman wanted to do this to Packers fans. Another NFC Championship game loss to the 49ers and Deshaun Watson.
You know what? It does put in for a really miserable thought, but sometimes you can't take that thought away once it's out there. But could you imagine?
No.
Headed to the NFC title game, and whoever it might be, maybe it's Tampa again. Maybe it's, I doubt it's San Francisco. I think they have more problems than a lot of people think, but they're decent. But, I mean, the Rams maybe Seattle. I mean, pick a team. And that's, slim pickings, really, when you think about it. But what if? Oh, my goodness.
If they make the NFC Championship next year, that is going to be walking on eggshells week here at 1250 AM, The Fan.
Oh, yeah, it will be.
People are going to be.
We need to make a lot of plans for the day after.
Our guy Pudge on the other side of the glass is going to be inconsolable. Inconsolable. He's going to be shaken naked in the fetal over there in the corner of the producer's booth, Timmy.
Yeah, he will be. And, I don't know. I don't even want to go there, so forget about it.
Eric Name gets you ready for tonight's Bucks action. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM, The Fan, right after this. Me and Tim, 1250 AM, The Fan. We'll get you early results on the draft mockery poll that's out there right now. We drafted hot dogs and their fixins today on the draft mockery. I think we should have just, and I'm not saying this because I'm not in the lead right now, but I think we should have just, we should have just not drafted a specific type of dog. We should have just said, okay, it's a bun, it's a dog, and then pick the fixings and the toppings from there. Because quite honestly, all of ours feel a little bit incomplete, even though Tim couldn't think of a fourth thing to draft and just said, put salt on it.
Put salt.
More salt.
All else fails, always just go with salt.
Yeah, I have a salty piece of processed meat, but throw some salt on that too. I feel like if we just said, okay, it's a bun and a hot dog, and what are you putting on top of it? I think the draft would have been a little bit better, and our hot dogs would look a little bit more complete and give people a more complete picture of what we wanted to do with it.
He's whining about
it. That's all I'm saying. I'm still gonna win.
I'm thrilled with my draft right now.
I'm gonna win. I mean, let it be known, I will win. But I'm just saying, I feel like the poll itself is a little bit flawed.
He's saying that because I'm winning right now.
No, I'm not. I'm going to win this thing, man. I'm going to shamelessly pander and campaign on Twitter again.
So I have to stay up all night and again, making sure there's not a vote dump.
Bucks host the Pelicans tonight. Eric Name joined us earlier, and Tim asked him, eventually this team has to get a signature win, right? With the second half of the schedule out and some big challenges on there, eventually we can't just talk about the process and learning, and they got to get themselves a signature win, don't they, Eric Name?
Yeah, it's interesting because I tend to agree. Like, you know, I'm more than fine with them telling us that they're more worried about process than wins because they've won a bunch of games in the last couple of regular seasons and it didn't work. So I can understand the logic behind it. But obviously, you know, if you don't win some of those games in the regular season, it makes me not believe that you're going to be able to win those games in the postseason. When you play those good teams. So I would agree. I think there's some spots there where you can really go out there and win some games. And again, it's interesting to me because those wins don't necessarily mean anything, right? Like, they beat the Clippers last year. They beat the Lakers last year. But that didn't guarantee them anything in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So that would be their obvious retort, but you do have to get reps winning. Winning matters, and this is a results-based league. So I think you're right in circling the two Clippers games back-to-back. And then, you know, I think there's a couple other opportunities, and really they're all at home against good teams. You have a two-game set. Again, it's not a back-to-back. It's this thing that they're doing in the league now where you play the same team twice in the same city. So you have Wednesday, March 24th and Friday, March 26th against the Boston Celtics. Then you go down to April 22nd and April 24th, you have the Philadelphia 76ers in town. And then May 2nd and May 4th, you have the Brooklyn Nets in town. I mean, it would be tough to put, you know, games on the schedule that could make you feel better about the Milwaukee Bucks than, man, you go in the middle of April, everyone's still fighting for playoff position. You take back-to-back games from the Philadelphia 76ers, who are at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. Or even you go into May and you take back-to-back games from the Brooklyn Nets. Or even if you end up splitting against those teams. Those are the types of tests that show that this team can compete, can play with these other teams. So for me, it's kind of those eight-ish games. The Celtics probably don't matter as much anymore because they're struggling at the moment. So it's, you know, take one or two from the Los Angeles contender kind of portion of the trip. Take one or two or sweep the Sixers. Take one or two or sweep the Nets. And, you know, I think that's kind of the spot where you're looking at signature wins or whatever you might want to call it. I think the best one in the first half would have been the Denver Nuggets when they were still kind of viewed as a contender. They're a little bit closer to the middle of the Western Conference now instead. But there's plenty of opportunities for those signature-type victories here in the second half.
Eric, we're late for a break, but I need to ask you the question I heard you ask Bart Winkler the other day when I was sitting in studio, and it was good to talk to you twice in 1 week, Eric. And the question was this. Bart was saying he was on the Firebud train, off the Firebud train, back and forth, and you said, you asked Bart if he felt like Coach Bud, and you put it in a very good way, if he was a Frankenstein of all the greatest coaches that ever coached this game, could he do a good enough coaching job with this roster to overcome whatever talent deficit they have should they go up against the Brooklyn Nets of the world or the Lakers or the Clippers? I don't know that I heard you answer your own question. Do you think Coach Bud can do enough of a coaching job to overcome whatever talent deficit there is between them and what look like more dominant big twos and big threes around the league?
Yeah, I think so. You know, with that Nets team, I get kind of the fear that Bart has. I just think it's a little bit less of them than he does because, you know, the way he was talking about them the other morning, like, this is a no doubt, they're going to win the championship. And I think they should be the favorites right now. I will not deny that. But, you know, you you look at kind of their top three and you look at the way that the Bucks can score the basketball with Drew Holiday on the floor, there's a real chance that you can get into that series and you're going up against a first-time head coach in Steve Nash. So I don't think you're going to get, you know, out-schemed or out-tacticked during that series. You're just going to have a chance to go out there and play. And, you know, I think there's enough talent with Giannis and Chris and Drew to go toe-to-toe with those guys and put yourself in, hey, if it's going to be a shootout and it's 120-121 for seven straight games, I think you can go in there and grab four of those games. So I think they could do it. I think Bart is maybe a little bit higher on the Nets than I am, which was the point I was trying to get to in asking him that question. But he very masterfully evaded my questioning that morning.
Yeah, Bart will do that to you. That's Eric Name. He joined us earlier on the show. Bucks Game Day Previews brought to you by your local Pick and Save Stores, the official grocer of your Milwaukee Bucks. You can hear the full interview on the radio.com app. Download it. It's free. Like the Fan. Take us with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature and listen to whatever damn portion of whatever damn show you feel like listening whenever you damn well please. That's right. The radio.com app. Tim, tonight we get a look at Zion. Now, we get to watch Giannis every night, and that's fun, and that's great for my money. And he was in peak form, in my opinion, the other night against the Timberwolves. Probably the most entertaining basketball player in this league. But I love when a Karl Anthony Towns comes through town or when a Zion Williamson comes through town. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Giannis go back and forth tonight, hopefully as much as Giannis and Kat went back and forth the other night. That was fun to watch, and I think this one has the potential to be very fun to watch as well.
It does, and those of you, again, we're without football now, but the Green Bay Packers conversation always there. We're without baseball, and that's approaching. By the way, we get baseball and a Cactus League game on Sunday. Brewers, by the way, have not, to my knowledge, have thrown out the broadcast schedule quite yet.
I was going to ask you, do you mean on TV they're going to be on?
on TV or radio. So I don't know. You know, they should be coming out with that pretty quick here. But, you know, you've got the Bucks, and then that's a – we all like to press a few buttons, don't we, Rami? Mm-hmm. So even though we're watching a Bucks game, commercial break, halftime, whatever, we're always punching around the dial a little bit. What is – and I know you're way into your TV and pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
What does a Thursday night Bucks game exempt you from?
Let me think. Right now, there are not a lot of TV shows in season right now, Tim, and okay. Also so much stuff is just streaming, and you watch it whenever you want. I don't think it really interferes with anything on this particular Thursday night. To be honest with you,
yeah. And those of you that want to just enjoy this ride a little bit, they are working on things. They are improving. Just check it out. When do we get Holiday back? I mean, he's having an impact just being back with the team. We'll see. Maybe they'll pull that trigger before the All-Star break.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that, you know, during commercial, you might flip around on a Bucks game or a Brewers game or whatever the case might be. That habit has completely changed for me. I just pick up my phone and scroll Twitter for 3 minutes whenever it goes to a commercial. And I'm betting that's the case with a lot of people. If you watch anything that still has commercials, and sporting events are one of the last few things that I actually watch live, Tim, because everything else I would prefer to just fast forward through the commercials or watch it streaming, and there are no commercials involved whatsoever. But I'm betting a lot of people that when the commercial comes on, whether they're watching a game or anything else, they just pick up the old phone and go to Twitter or Instagram, TikTok, whatever their social media of choice may happen to be. Evan, do you do that? Say a Bucks game goes to break. Are you flipping channels, or are you just picking up your phone and flipping through Twitter for a few minutes?
I'm on my phone immediately. The second I hear the music play, my phone is in my hand.
Yeah.
When does the posture orthopedic injuries come into play with all you people just staring down at your phones all the time?
I'm very mindful of, and this started actually during the last year, during quarantine and everything else going on. I did a lot of yoga during quarantine. And so my posture is really, really improved. And it makes a huge difference in your life, man. I'm not even kidding. Like, posture makes a tremendous difference. I look taller. I look slimmer. It's not helping at all. I'm still hideous. But I'm just saying, like, if you get your posture right, it can add like an inch and a half to your height and just makes everything
okay
a little bit more in line and looking a little sleeker and slimmer.
And Pudge Heffelfinger over here, if you happen to miss news and notes earlier, can we recap that after the break here? Because people are going to wonder why we're calling him Pudge now.
It's a great nickname.
It's a perfect nickname. And it's all in the family.
When you told me that there's another Heffelfinger and I looked it up and I saw his name was Pudge, I lost it, dude. I lost it today. So we'll tell you why he is now and forever Pudge Heffelfinger and get you early results on our draft mockery. We drafted hot dogs today. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM, The Fan. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM, The Fan. Final few minutes here on a Thursday. Every Thursday, we do a segment that we call News and Notes. And today, two interesting things came out of News and Notes. One, bad strip club stories. That was fun. Go back on the radio.com app and listen to the back half of the 2 o'clock hour if you're interested in that sort of thing. And also in News and Notes today, our producer, Evan Heffelfinger, got himself a new nickname. And he inherited a nickname from his bloodline.
Yes.
William Pudge Heffelfinger.
Was the first professional football player. Now, you may ask yourself, I thought there's a team sport here. There's 11 men on the field. How can he be the first?
That was my first thought. I was like, yeah. These are one-man football team? Like, watch the amazing one-man football team. Come to town this weekend and take on your Yale football team.
William Pudge Heffelfinger was the first paid football player, which made him professional.
Yeah, he played one game for the Allegheny Athletic Association, November 12th, 1892. He helped Allegheny defeat its arch rival, the Pittsburgh Athletic Club, 4-0, and became the first known pro. So apparently before, it was just sort of, was it just like an intramural?
Fun, maybe?
Amateur type of thing, and they brought in a ringer. Evan, you don't know anything about this? You're actually related to this guy, and you have nothing for us?
So the timeline is a little bit iffy. My grandpa and I today both reached out to our family, quote-unquote, historian.
Uh-huh.
So I'm waiting to see a result on that, but...
Have you ever done 23andMe or Ancestry.com or anything like that?
The money to do
I'm
that?
I'm mortified of that.
I really do want to do that for a lot of reasons, but... I haven't paid for it yet.
Is it expensive?
It's
like
$300.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister did it, Rami, and I thought she had done it like 5 years ago, so I thought, good, you're out of the woods. No one's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I'm your 38-year-old kid. Wow, nice to meet you. It's 8 months. 8 months ago she did it, so.
I'm walking on eggshells.
We did it for my grandparents, and it took like almost a year to get the results back.
Really?
It was like a Christmas gift that we ended up getting back in, I want to say like midsummer, roughly.
So if you want to get somebody Ancestry.com or 23andMe for Christmas, you should do that like right now if you're looking to get results.
Yeah. Mm. And the best time to buy it is Black Friday because it's usually discounted, like half off.
Oh, all right.
You know, the 80s were a fun time. I'm not telling you to brag or anything. I'm just telling you the way it was. It didn't matter how you looked. It didn't matter anything. You just stand around a bar and things would happen.
It didn't matter how you looked, really?
It really didn't. Oh, it really didn't.
That would have been my time to shine, man.
No kidding.
You really? Would have been a rock star, Ronnie.
A man named Pudge would have killed in the 80s.
Yes. It was just
Wow. I was born at the wrong time. I mean, my dad was taking me to bars in the 80s, but I was but a small child and was not yet, you know.
You were like, here's a dollar, kid. Go play the jukebox or go play pool.
Something like that. Pinball machine. Pinball was still a thing back then. Every day here between now and the NFL draft, we're doing, are we going to have enough ideas to really sustain this thing between now and draft? All right.
Oh, for sure.
We bring you Mock Draft Madness, which is a different mock draft every day. Tell you who various experts around the country have your Packers and the rest of the league take. And we also do Draft Mockery, where we draft something completely stupid and meaningless and just waste a few minutes of time and have some fun. And today, we drafted our ideal hot dog. And we had to draft a dog itself, one kind of dog, and then the toppings that go on it. And I maintain that this was flawed. And I was part of the decision-making process. I own some of this as well, a third of it, if you will. We shouldn't have drafted the actual dog itself. We all want an all-beef hot dog. We all ended up with different types of all-beef hot dogs.
Yes,
I got Vienna beef. Evan got 100% beef. Tim went with Usinger's. I'm assuming beef. So what we should have done is just started with the foundation of bun and dog and given ourselves four picks to top these hot dogs. But that's not what we did. Instead, we included hot dogs in the draft. And so now I feel like all of us have incomplete dogs. And I go to the other side of the glass.
Do over.
And Pudge for a recap and an early reading of the results.
I'm just going to say, I think mine is complete because you took onion from me. So I would be very happy eating my hot dog. But Rami, you went with a Vienna beef dog, onion, which was the number one overall pick.
And by the way, I'm surprised how many people, including both you, Evan, and you, Tim, said good pick, smart pick, and that
would have been my pick.
Hot dog is undefeated.
Yeah.
You then went with relish and spicy brown mustard.
Mm-hmm.
I went with a 100% beef dog. I'm guessing probably just like a ballpark Frank, something like that. Chili, cheese, and hot sauce, specifically Frank's.
Okay.
And Tim went with a Usinger wiener, a yellow mustard, sauerkraut, and salt.
Do you guys agree with me that we should have just left the actual dog itself out of the draft? That
yes,
it would have been a more complete and better draft had we done
probably.
That?
But Tim's last pick was salt.
Salt. Well, yeah, I was trying. But not much goes with the yellow mustard and the kraut. I mean, it's good enough just like that.
Did you panic? What happened?
I did.
Were you just salt? Just give me salt.
What else was going to go with yellow mustard and kraut?
I would have at least gone like celery salt or Lowry's seasoning salt.
That's not the a Staten Island dog or something
just
like that?
Just salt? Just put more salt on my salty meats? Hey, like, could have gone pickles or jalapenos. You could have gone with a different relish.
No, it was done. Yellow mustard and kraut.
So
New York style.
So bad.
I look forward to seeing my win on Monday when I come back.
Our thanks to Eric Name and all of you who listened. If you missed any portion of this show, go get that radio.com app. Download it to that handy dandy phone or device that you got there. It's free. It's totally free. And then like the fan and take us with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature to find Eric Name or anything else on this show or these fine airwaves.
Pudge.
For Pudge, Heffelfinger, and Tim Allen. I'm Rami Maclow saying thanks for listening to Rami and Tim, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow starting at 2.
We're done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!